From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. William Barr, the nominee for Attorney General, testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee this week. He will replace Acting AG Matt Whitaker, who was put in place after President Donald Trump fired Jeff Sessions. Barr had served as AG in the George H.W. Bush administration. A big part of the Tuesday hearings focused on what Barr thinks of the special counsel investigation, as it is assumed Trump fired Sessions over his refusal to control that investigation. Barr asserted that he was friends with Robert Mueller and would respect his work, but he was not quite forthcoming on wanting to release the results of the report to the public and said he would not recuse himself from overseeing the special counsel probe. Democratic senators are concerned about a 19-page memo that he wrote to the DOJ last year criticizing some aspects of the investigation. Here is William Barr addressing that memo in his opening remarks.
I wrote the memo as a former attorney general who has often weighed in on legal issues of public importance, and I distributed it broadly so that other lawyers would have the benefit of my views. My memo was narrow, explaining my thinking on a specific obstruction of justice theory under a single statute that I thought, based on media reports, the special counsel might be considering. The memo did not address or in any other way question the special counsel's core investigation into Russian efforts to interfere in the election, nor did it address other potential obstruction of justice theories or argue that some have wrongly suggested that a president can never obstruct justice.
That's William Barr addressing the memo he wrote last year during his Tuesday confirmation hearings. Joining us now to analyze those hearings is Marjorie Cohen. She's a professor emerita at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law and a writer for Truthout. Welcome to the program, Marjorie.
My pleasure, Sonali.
So these hearings ahead of the confirmation hearings that were held starting Tuesday, what we found out was that Republican senators were able to meet with William Barr, the nominee, but Democratic senators weren't, and they were told that the shutdown was the reason that they weren't able to meet. So rightly, of course, they were concerned. What did you make of the extraordinary focus on the special counsel's investigation? The attorney general is a very big position, but it seemed as though the hearings on Tuesday, perhaps fed by the inability of the Democrats to meet with Barr, centered on how he would treat the special counsel's investigation.
Yes. Well, he did say that he would let Mueller finish his investigation. He knows Mueller. He doesn't think he's engaged in a witch hunt. He thinks he's a straight shooter. But he said that he did not commit to making Mueller's report even available to Congress, no less the public. Under the regulations, the special counsel, when he finishes his investigation, is supposed to give a confidential report to the attorney general explaining his prosecution and declination decisions, in other words, declining to prosecute. And then the regulations say that the attorney general may determine that it's in the public interest to release the report to the public. But Barr never committed to releasing any part of the report to Congress or the public. He said he would release his summary. He would give Congress a summary. And although he said he wants as much transparency as possible, that's very concerning. Also, he was asked about whether he would follow advice of the ethics experts in the Department of Justice about whether he should recuse himself from the overseeing the special counsel Mueller's investigation of the Russia matter. And he said that he would not defer to the ethics experts. He would make his own decision, although he did say that he thought that Jeff Sessions' decision to recuse himself from the Mueller investigation was proper. So there was a lot of focus on that. There was a lot of focus on his views of executive power, and particularly a memo that Barr wrote, a 19-page memo that he wrote in last June and gave it to the White House and gave it to Trump's attorneys. And that memo laid out a very, very disturbing view of executive power called the unitary executive, which is a radical right-wing theory saying that there are basically no limits on the president's power. And in this memo, Barr argued that Mueller investigating Trump for obstruction of justice under a statute he said it was fatally misconceived, even though he admitted that he had no information about what Barr's theory was. And he also wrote, Barr also wrote in this memo that the special counsel Mueller could not make the president submit to interrogation, demand that he submit to interrogation about obstruction of justice, unless and until Mueller first has evidence of collusion. And this is not the way it works. I mean, there can be convictions for obstruction of justice for a long, long time. This has been the case, even without proof of the underlying crime. And the other thing that is very disturbing, and many of the Democratic senators questioned Barr about, was the claim in his memo, in this June memo, that the president has power over all of law enforcement, including his own conduct, including matters in which he has a personal stake. And when he was attorney general in the George H.W. Bush administration, one of the first things that Barr did was to write a 10-page memo saying, beware of congressional attempts to limit presidential power. During the George W. Bush administration, Barr argued for military commissions because they have reduced due process. He said that the Geneva Conventions don't protect prisoners of war, which is absolutely false, and the Supreme Court said so. He said that these so-called enhanced interrogation techniques were illegal as long as they didn't amount to torture. Again, this is wrong on the law. We've signed a treaty that prohibits cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment. And when he was testifying, he couldn't say whether waterboarding constituted torture, even though it's long been established that waterboarding constitutes torture, which is a war crime. After World War II, the United States tried, convicted, and hung Japanese leaders for torture, for the war crime of torture based upon waterboarding. So there were many, many things that were very worrisome. Another really worrisome thing is that he intimated that journalists could be prosecuted.
Yes. Oh, that was quite. In fact, Marjorie, I want to play some clips from the hearing touching upon many of the things that you've just discussed. First, this is Senator Patrick Leahy specifically asking whether William Barr would fire Robert Mueller, the special counsel. And Leahy said that memo that you referred to earlier, the 19-page memo that he put out last year, looked like a job application, but Barr said that was ludicrous, that he would fully support the Russia probe.
Under the regulations, Bob Mueller could only be terminated for good cause. And I frankly, it's unimaginable to me that Bob would ever do anything that gave rise to good cause. But in theory, if something happened that was good cause, for me, it would actually take more than that. It'd have to be pretty grave, and the public interest would essentially have to compel it, because I believe right now the overarching public interest is to allow him to finish.
I would agree with that, but I also think over the past 18 months you rather harshly prejudged the investigation in some of your writings.
Well, I don't see that at all, Senator. You know, okay. When you strip away a lot of the rhetoric, the two things that have been thrown up as me sort of being antagonistic to the investigation are two things. One, a very mild comment I made that, gee, I wish the team had been more balanced. I wasn't criticizing Mueller. I believe that prosecutors, and I think you would agree, they can handle the case professionally, whatever their politics are. A good prosecutor can leave their politics at the door and go in and do the job. And I think that's what Justice Department prosecutors do in general.
Did it look like a job application? So that's what I want you to refer to.
Well, that's ludicrous. If I wanted the job and was going after the job, there are many more direct ways of me bringing myself to the president's attention than writing an 18 page legal memorandum, or sending it to the Department of Justice and routing it to other...
But also publicly criticize the Russian probe. I mean,
how have I criticized the Russian probe?
You don't have any criticism of the Russian probe?
Not at all. I think I believe the Russians interfered or attempted to interfere with the election, and I think we have to get to the bottom of it.
So.
And that is William Barr, the Attorney General nominee, on Tuesday, speaking with Senator Patrick Leahy during the Senate Judiciary Committee's confirmation hearing. So Barr is saying that he fully supports the Russia probe and that his criticism in that memo was very narrow. We even have some media outlets that are sort of saying, well, Trump might be rethinking, or maybe Trump has buyer's remorse in putting a Barr forward as an Attorney General, because it looks like Barr is going to respect the probe. What do you think?
You know, Barr is going to say what he needs to say to get confirmed, and Trump has been told this. And when Barr wrote that 19-page memo, that was a job application, and you know that that memo was the reason that Trump appointed him Attorney General. The way that Trump behaved with Jeff Sessions, who is a real right winger, I mean, horrible on criminal justice issues and immigration and on and on and on, and really set us back, recused himself from the Russia investigation. And ever since then, Trump was just furious. He was livid. He slammed Sessions, and eventually he fired Jeff Sessions. So you know that Trump is not going to appoint an attorney general unless he is convinced that that attorney general will have his back. And he is confident that William Barr will have his back. Hmm.
And then I want to play another clip from the hearing, specifically to the issue of whether the report would be released in full or not. Here is Patrick Leahy again talking with or asking William Barr about releasing the results of the special counsel's final report as this investigation is coming to a close.
I'm in favor of as much transparency as there can be, consistent with the rules and the law.
Do you see a case where the president could claim executive privilege and say that parts of the report could not be released?
Well, I don't have a clue as to what would be in the report. The report could end up being, you know, not very big. I don't know what's going to be in the report. In theory, if there was executive privilege material that to which an executive privilege claim could be made, it might, someone might raise a claim of executive privilege.
And that is William Barr saying that to Senator Patrick Leahy on Tuesday's hearing, saying that he would release the report to the extent of the law. There was a disagreement on Trump invoking executive privilege to keep it secret, and Barr seemed to think that there was a case for that. Marjorie, is this what it's likely to happen then? Because if Barr is confirmed, which looks likely because the Republicans control the Senate, and Rosenstein steps down, Mueller is going to release the results of his report, and it looks like Barr will say, well, Trump is claiming executive privilege. We can't really make it public.
I think there's a good chance that that'll happen. I think that he will not make the report public. From his testimony, it appears that Barr will summarize possibly just the conclusions of Mueller's report and provide that to Congress. And he's going to have to provide something to the public, because people are going to be champing at the bit to see something. But I think it will be very abbreviated. I don't think we're going to get much detail. And the question is, will Congress even get much detail?
Right. That was going to be my next question. The House, now controlled by the Democrats, it's their purview to begin impeachment hearings. There have been articles of impeachment reintroduced. Some have suggested that the Democrats are waiting for the results of this report. But will they even get to see it under Barr? We don't know.
We don't know. And it is possible that they might initiate impeachment, but also they're going to be holding hearings. They're going to be subpoenaing witnesses. They're going to be subpoenaing documents. And in order to inform these many of these hearings, they are going to need to see Mueller's full report. And it's not at all clear that they will see Mueller's report.
So let's also play the clip where, as you were just alluding to earlier, William Barr seemed to think that there was a case for prosecuting and jailing journalists. So this is a separate topic from the special counsel's investigation. Senator Amy Klobuchar, Democrat, asked Barr about this idea of jailing journalists. This is what the exchange was like.
Will the Justice Department jail reporters for doing their jobs?
I think that, I know there are guidelines in place, and I can conceive of situations where, as a last resort, and where a news organization has run through a red flag or something like that, knows that they're putting out stuff that will hurt the country, there could be a situation where someone would be held in contempt. But
Attorney General,
and that's William Barr, whose answer to Senator Amy Klobuchar on Tuesday's hearing was disturbing, to say the least. Marjorie Cohn, he said that as a last resort, if a news outlet has knowingly put out stuff that would, quote, hurt the country, there might be a situation where he would support prosecuting journalists. I don't think this has gotten nearly enough attention from the Tuesday hearing.
No, it hasn't. And he said that they could be held in contempt. And this violates the First Amendment and violates the Supreme Court's interpretation of freedom of press under the First Amendment. So that would not fly, but it should put the fear of God in every journalist to think that anything we say or write could be construed as hurting the country. Any criticism of the administration could be viewed as hurting the country. And we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of journalists who criticize the administration and who could be held in contempt under Barr's theory here.
And of course, that has been a huge part of Trump's positioning and the culture wars that he has waged, addressing the media as the enemy of the people. So to have this sort of attorney general in place during Trump's tenure is quite disturbing. Do you think that there is any chance that the Republicans might join in with Democrats to potentially stop this nomination from going forward? Or is it essentially a done deal for Barr to be the new attorney general?
It's a done deal. There will be some Democrats that support him who think that he's better than Matthew Whitaker, who's the acting attorney general, who's equally horrific. I just don't see any way that this nomination will be defeated. Plus the fact that on paper, Barr is qualified, quote unquote, qualified. He's been the attorney general in the past. He's had years of government experience. He knows the system. He knows the Department of Justice. There's just no way that he won't be confirmed.
Now, a lot of the conversations around the confirmation hearings and the coverage of the confirmation hearings is reminding us of earlier administrations where you had investigations. In particular, you had the Iran-Contra scandal under the George H.W. Bush administration, where William Barr was the attorney general. But even going further back to that, a lot of people are wondering, well, how would an attorney general like William Barr have acted during the Watergate scandal under President Nixon? Do those two previous encounters or instances where you had executives, the White House, rather the president, entangled in potential criminal wrongdoing, tell us anything about the kind of AG Barr would be?
Well, during Iran-Contra, he advised the president, the president was Reagan, to pardon the people implicated in the Iran-Contra affair. And what was happening was that the Reagan administration was illegally selling arms to Iran to illegally fund the Contras, who were fighting against the Sandinista government in Nicaragua. And Barr took the position against the advice of the special counsel that Reagan should pardon these people. And so he didn't think much of the special counsel then. And when you think about Trump saying, I have the power to pardon anybody, even myself, chances are, if he's consistent, Barr would advise Trump that, yes, you have the pardon power. You can pardon your family members. You can pardon yourself. And the sky's the limit, basically, on what Trump will be told by Barr is within his power.
Is there anything Congress can do to protect the government with such an attorney general at Trump's side?
Well, in my opinion, and I know there are many different opinions on the left about this, I think that the House should initiate impeachment proceedings. Now, keep in mind that an impeachment is like an indictment, and then a majority of the House of Representatives would vote in favor of impeachment. Then the case goes to the Senate for trial, and 2/3 of the Senate have to vote to convict and remove him. That's not going to happen because the Republicans control the Senate. But by establishing and initiating impeachment proceedings, which are public, which are televised, it will lay bare for the American people all of the wrongdoing, abuse of power, lawbreaking that this president has done. And I think that it would help politically if he is not convicted and removed by the Senate. And I think that we're talking now political pressure because, and again, the courts could actually halt this amassing of power by Trump, although the Supreme Court did not do that with his Muslim ban, even though many lower courts had put a stay on it and stopped it as violative of the First Amendment. But then they rewrote the travel ban and it passed muster with a majority of the Supreme Court. I don't know that Roberts will actually vote the same way. Say if Trump declares a national emergency so that the government can start up again and he can fund his $5.7 billion wall, which, by the way, Barr supports
right.
A barrier.
That too came out during the confirmation hearings where he echoed some of the president's misstatements and exaggerations on violence and crime pouring over the border and the need for a barrier. Well, Marjorie, it's always a pleasure to have you on our program. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll see how the story plays out.
Yes, thanks so much, Sonali.
Marjorie Cohn is a professor emerita at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law, a writer for Truth Out as well. And we've been discussing William Barr's confirmation hearings for the position of Attorney General. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.